Thank you, Brother Arlen and Sister Sarah. All right. Turn with me in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation 19, carrying on in our series in Revelation. And I've been learning a lot, and some of you have already picked up on some of that. I have made some errors. Probably more than I'm aware of. But the injunction is for us to be in God's Word and to be diligent, but also to be aware that to study the Scriptures. Just reading about the fellow who is William Miller, who started the what ended up being the Seventh-day Adventist idea. He was a Baptist pastor, actually. He wasn't saved. He was not a saved man, but he had become a pastor. And because, you know, you can read it up on Wikipedia there, or some other, any other encyclopedia. And I found it interesting just the other day. I was reading that he took this position that he was going to read the Bible, and he would read the Bible until he got to a passage or a verse that he didn't understand, and he would just dwell on that verse until he understood it and then carry on. That is not good hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is a study of the Bible or the interpretation of any kind of literature, but hermeneutics, that's not a good principle. The principle for hermeneutics in studying the Scriptures is to read and become familiar with the whole Bible, or as much of the Bible as you can, and then you'll begin to see how the Bible interprets itself. The Scripture interprets Scripture. And so, yes, he certainly went way off, to the point where he believed like so many, even until recently. Wow, so many have said, oh, I know when Jesus Christ is returning. And they come up with a date. So we already know ahead of time that's foolishness. But anyway, the reason I point that out is because a lot of my ignorance comes from unfamiliarity with a lot of portions of the Scripture. And so it's really pushed me harder to, as I've been reading through the Old Testament and the New Testament, I've been trying to put it more into my memory and more pondering, well, what does that mean and why is it there? But not getting overcome by that. But it's wonderful to see, as we've been going through Revelation, to see how important those Scriptures are. There's a book out that says there are over 600 references to the Old Testament in Revelation. And I just learned about it this last week. But Revelation is full of references to the Old Testament Scripture. And so that's just a preamble here. But in your Bible, chapter 19, Revelation 19, we'll read the first 10 verses here, and let's just begin. If you're able to, please stand, and we'll read these scriptures. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God, for true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. Verse 3. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. Verse 10, And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. May God add his rich blessing to the reading of his word. Let's just remain standing for a word of prayer. Dear God, I pray that you would direct my thoughts and words, that they'd be pleasing to thee, that we could learn something from thy word that's appropriate. And we thank thee for all thy goodness to us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. In this passage, one of the first things that we might come to note is Alleluia, 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 Alleluia. First time in the New Testament that the word Alleluia is presented, and that's the Greek form of the word Hallelujah. And praise Yah, or God. And of course, Hallelujah in Hebrew, it's with a J-A-H on the end. But we've accustomed to the Greek Hallelujah or Hallelujah. And so, four times there in verse 1, first in verse 1, then in verse 3, and then verse 4, and then verse 6. Why all this praise to God? Well, praise to God in heaven. That's where it's located here. And after all these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven. Much people. We as believers, what are we looking forward to? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18. Hebrews 12, 18 through 24. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, and the voice, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken unto them anymore. So what is this passage here in Hebrews 12, 18 is saying, we're not coming to this physical mountain that the children of Israel came to in Mount Sinai. No, not a physical mountain. Hebrews 12, 24, they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was that the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. They are called to this city, and this new city is different from the city that we've been looking at the last few weeks, that harlot city, that mystery Babylon, the great harlot, mother of harlots, the abomination of the earth, that religious system that's in the world today, the economic system that's in the world today, it's ecumenical. It means they're trying to get all religions. I remember Brother Arlen and I were at one door, and the fellow was Baha'i, of course. Baha'i says that all the religions all are the same. They all lead to the same end. So we were making it clear to him that no, Bible Christian faith is distinct and separate from that ecumenical movement. And he goes, no, but it's all the same. And so you cannot, and that's part of why postmodernism is so popular right now. Postmodernism denies reality, denies truth, and denies logic. And so it's very popular now for folks to engage in that, because that's the only way they can blend things that are different and call them the same. It's happening, folks. It's happening. The reality is there are male and female, regardless of what some 36-year-old fellow in Denmark would say that he's a 6-year-old, or 16-year-old girl, I think he's won some kind of court case. No, there are differences, and Bible-believing Christians are not part of this harlot, mystery Babylon, that great mother of harlots, the abomination of the earth, which is the religious system and the political and economic system. And in the political and economic system, they pride themselves that they are in tune with that religious system, albeit they hate that religious system. Do you get it? Those of you that know of folks, or maybe even people that are listening might be those folks, you are in tune with that religious system, even though you hate that religious system. And actually, God is going to bring these kings of the earth together to destroy that religious system. They thinking that that will get them free of it. But in the meantime, what that'll do is it'll actually destroy their economic and political system. And so chaos among the prison is being ruled by the inmates. God can give people over to what they desire. And that is not, you as parents, those of you that are parents, you know that you're protecting your children from things that you know that they truly desire, but they will not be for their own good, for their good. All right. And so we are come to Mount Zion, unto that city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. And so there's an innumerable company of angels that are proclaiming that here in chapter 19. But not only angels. There's a number of other folks here in heaven. We've seen the scene in heaven in chapter 4 and chapter 5 and chapter 7. We've seen and different other places referring to what's happening in heaven at this time that things are happening on earth. But we can also recognize that much people, if you see here in verse 1, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven. Well, who are among those people? Well, the 24 elders in chapter 4, the 24 elders. We see that chapter 4, verse 4, and around the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. They represent the completed body of Christ, the church in heaven. We find them in heaven having been raptured, caught up to be with the Lord, according to Thessalonians, the book of Thessalonians. And so that showing completeness, that group, that body of Christ being complete, similar to how the 24 courses of priests in the Old Testament were showing or demonstrating the completeness of the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, mind you, each individual believer is a priest now. The priest, the human priesthood is done away with in Christ. Jesus Christ is our high priest. And each individual is a priest. But these folks here, these 12 seats, and those sitting on the seats are elders, representative of the Church of Jesus Christ. And what are they doing? In chapter Revelation 4, verse 9, and when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And don't forget, who is this who is this Lord that's worthy? In chapter 5, we see that it is the Lion of Judah. It's the Lamb of God that was worthy to open the seals. And chapter 5, verse 11, "And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands." So 10,000 times 10,000, 100 million and thousands, hundreds of millions and thousands of people. "And the four beasts said," that's in chapter 5, verse 14, "the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever." So voices, much voices that are praising God, and all these alleluias. Angels, many angels, multitudes of angels, hundreds of millions and thousands of angels. And the 24 elders, and we've actually read, I haven't pointed out, but the four beasts. Now, not to be confused with the two beasts that are introduced later on in chapter 13, the one beast being the Antichrist, and his false prophet being the second beast in chapter 13. But the four beasts that are presented here in chapter 4 are also the same beasts that four beasts that Ezekiel introduces in the first few chapters of Ezekiel. They are four cherubim angels that worship on each side of the throne of God. In chapter Revelation 4, 6, "And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, the second beast like a calf, the third beast had the face as a man, the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." Then in chapter 5, verse 6, "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth." So we covered that previously, sevenfold spirit of God in Isaiah chapter 11. And so then again in Revelation 5:8, "And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints." And then verse 11, "And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands." And so also in verse 5 here of chapter 19, we see some more voices. Chapter 19, verse 5, "And the voice came out of the throne, a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great." Well, good. I'm included in that company. And so there will be many small and great included in that company. Isn't that wonderful? Not just if you believe you're small, but if in reality you are small. I'm talking small in your contribution or whatever. Like, what a beautiful thing. The voice, the call is, and because it's understood, that any who are saved are part of this group. The redeemed are here. And the voice is saying, "Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great." It doesn't matter about our state in this present world. We can all fear God. We can all run to God. And of course, we know that God uses those things to his glory that are not. Because it's not great faith that does great things. It's faith in a great God. And so if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you'll be able to say unto this mountain, "Be removed and cast into the sea." because that'll be things that you know and you have been directed are the will of God. You'll be doing it in His name, not just puppeting His name, but really in His authority, in the power of attorney in His name. And so, yes, there are much people, the angels, the 24 elders, the four beasts, and all of God's servants, great and small. And what's the motivation? To praise God. Alleluia, 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 alleluia. Those praises, praise God. Firstly, because of the character of God. God is true and righteous in His judgments. In verse 2, for true and righteous are His judgments. For He hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of His servants at His hand. Remember, we talked about vengeance belongs to God. He will repay. We do a great thing as parents, as employers, as leaders of a city, a province, a country, to have in place law enforcement, have in place judicial system, but to have in place boundaries and borders, to have laws, rules, and regulations. Those are very essential because they are illustrative of how it is with God. God has rules and regulations for us. This is the instruction book for His creation, both us individually and for all the creation around us. And when we conduct ourselves within those guidelines, it's a blessing to everyone. But let's not fail to recognize it's not those things that we put in place that are protecting us. It's God Almighty that's doing it. And so we cannot be when we've done our best to demonstrate what is right in terms of holding up to justice and enforcement, we know all along that it has been God that has been guiding. And so we can recognize when it comes to a point where, yes, we are going to see the mighty hand of God in different ways. I guess a mighty hand of God, I think, when God has been protecting us in ways that we have been ignorant to.
Amen.
And when that ignorance is gone, we really see how God has been protecting us. Wonderful. And so, in chapter 6 of Revelation had been sort of an introduction to what was going to happen. It was the following things. And so it highlighted everything. And so in chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, when He had opened, we're talking about the true and righteous. One of the motivations for praising God is because God is true and righteous in His judgments. And in chapter 6, we had seen in verses 9 and 10, and when He had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? They're calling upon the Lord, holy and true. How long? Well, here it is now being fulfilled. Now the answer comes. In chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. So there's multitudes that are praising God. Why? Firstly, because of His character. Secondly, in verse 2, because He hath judged the great whore. And that is something in the future. I believe we're living in the times of this great whore, this city Babylon, the Mystery City of Babylon, mother of harlots, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication. And God hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And so this Hur and all her followers and kings of the earth have followed suit to kill God's saints around the world. I'm not talking about these created saints. I'm talking about born-again believers. All born-again believers in Jesus Christ are saints. So motivation to praise God is because of his character. He's holy and true. And because in holy and true judgment, he has judged the great Hur. And then in verse 6, because God, our Lord God, omnipotent reigneth. And so verse 6, and I heard as it were the voice of great multitude and the voice of many waters and as the voice of mighty thundering saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. He's omnipotent, and he has been holding back in a lot of ways, but now we're beginning to see here, in the future, he will not be holding back. His omnipotence will be clearly seen. And lastly, there's the message of faith, or pardon me, the message of praise. So there's a much people praising God. There's reason to praise God because he's true and just. He's holy and true. He's also just in this judgment that he's bringing. And he's all-powerful. And so the message of this praise is fourfold: salvation and glory and honor and power. Now, fourfold in the translation of the scriptures, but there are some perversions of the scriptures out there that only are threefold. And for no reason, but the fourfold message of praise in verse 1, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. And there's a lot of perversions out there that leave out honor for no, as far as I know, no known reason, just leaving it out. And that's what many perversions of the scripture, in order to get their copyright, to be different from any of the others. Things that are different are not the same. So they all seek to be different so that they can get their copyright. But just read this King James Bible. It comes from excellent manuscripts of in the Old Testament, New Testament, not these doctored manuscripts. King James Bible, over 400 years old in English. And other languages in the world that are from the same texts. So the message of praise is, in verse 1, God's salvation, his glory, his honor, and his strength. And you know what? Psalm 96, it kind of parallels that. Psalm 96 says, Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Verse 3, declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength, similar to power, and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O praise the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. And that's what we read there in verse 6, at the end of verse 6. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. The whole world also shall be established that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the fields be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with truth. 1 Timothy 4:10 tells us, therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Who are you trusting in for your atonement for your sin? You need atonement for your sin. All of us have sinned. We're all sinners. Are you trying to now improve your act, like get better? And rightfully so. I mean, that's an honorable thing for anybody to try and improve their life and do right. That won't bring atonement for your past sins. And it is not the perfect standard that's required now and in the future. You must be wholly perfect. And the only way you can have that is by accepting the forgiveness that only comes from Jesus Christ, putting on his righteous robe for this marriage supper of the Lamb. If you want to be part of this bride, and that's what we're going to get to here, and I don't think we'll get to it this time, it'll have to be part two of the same thing here. But it's for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now that's talking about sanctification, looking for. That's what we do in the meantime. We live righteously, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. We live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And now, Jesus Christ says in John 17, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Jesus had set his glory aside for a while, and now he's claiming it back. In this wonderful ceremony, this marriage in heaven with the believers, and they're coming to earth to do this supper of the Lamb. Lift up your heads, Psalm 24, verse 7 says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Now that's in Psalms. 1 Corinthians 2:7-8 says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden mystery, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. This is who that King of glory is, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that they have crucified. He is the Lord mighty in battle. He is the Lord strong and mighty. He is the one that is coming as the bridegroom for this wedding ceremony. Now unto the King eternal, it's 1 Timothy 1:17. 1 Timothy 1:17, for unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. 1 Timothy 6:15-16, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no one hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we find that, as we will look into it next time, into the marriage, into the marriage of the Lamb, in verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. When you attend a wedding, a marriage, you are doing so to bring honor to the couple. And in this case, bringing honor to the groom who has taken that bold step to call a wife to himself and to make provision for that wife. And so we will see how that wife adorns herself too. She's part of this whole thing. And so Jesus Christ is the bridegroom. The church is the bride. The invited guests are the Old Testament saints. And Lord willing, we'll be getting into that. But for you this day, if you have not trusted Christ for salvation, do so. That is simple. A child can get saved. I was saved when I was 7. Brother Harlan, when he was 27. It's not what you know. You don't need to know a lot. You don't have to believe a lot, because, number one, you know you're a sinner. That's very vital. You may say, well, I can't see hell. You know, I'm going to escape hell. I can't see it. Well, you know your own sinful heart. In the little bit that you do, the Bible says, who can know it? Like, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. You know that. You knew that when you were a child. You knew that the first time you knowingly did something sinful, because you hid from your parent. You were ashamed. You were no different than the adult Adam and Eve in the garden. You are a sinner. You know it. That's something you know and you can act on. Bible says, ask and you shall receive. Knock. Seek and you shall find. Ask and you shall receive. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. So that's all you need to know. You know you're a sinner. Well then, knock and ask and seek. And you will be a finder. Not a perpetual seeker. If you're perpetually seeking, you haven't found. Salvation is an instantaneous thing that occurs when you trust, when you recognize you cannot save yourself. There's no good that you can do. Put your faith in Jesus Christ and his shed blood, sinless blood on the cross. You can be saved today. Amen. It's just that simple. And may God bless you. And if you've done that, you know what it is. You know the Holy Spirit is inside you. And when you hear these scriptures to deny ungodliness and deny the lusts and to seek to do God's will, you know what blessing comes with that, living for the Lord. Well, may God bless you all. Just bow for a word of prayer. Dear God, we thank thee for thy goodness, and we just pray that thou would help us to learn more of thee. And it's exciting to know where we came from, why we're here, and where we're going. You've said that we're blessed if we read Revelation and we understand what's going on there. And it is blessing because, wow, it's opening up the Old Testament to us. It's opening up the rest of the scriptures, what Jesus had to say to us. He was ministering during the Old Testament times, even though it's recorded in the New Testament. But his ministry was to the Old Testament saints. And so Revelation really opens all this up to us. Well, we just pray, dear God, you'd help each one of us as we continue in our service for thee this coming week. And we pray that many would come to know thee as Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.